Hello, it's Richard Herring here. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. And my stand-up tour is about to begin. Can I have my ball back? First stand-up tour in 6 years. Many of you just know me from the podcast. Don't know, I've done 14 or 15 stand-up tours in my own right. I'm a brilliant stand-up comedian, and can I have my ball back? I think it's my best show ever. That's what the audiences are saying. It's about testicular cancer, but it's funny because testicles are funny even though cancer isn't. I'm really pleased with it. I'd love you to come and see it. Bring your friends. Some of the shows selling really well, some of them selling really badly. It's a traditional Richard Herring tour. But here's where I'm going to be. 2nd of May, Thursday at the Luton Hat Factory. It's a small venue, but there are still tickets left. 3rd of May, I'm at the Bury Hedge End, which is near Southampton. That's looking more full, but still some availability. 8th of May, I'm at the Leicester Square Theatre. There's about 10 tickets left for that one, though I am back at the Leicester Square Theatre in June. And then I'm at St Albans on the 9th, Gloucester on the 10th, Chorley Little Theatre on the 11th. That's sold out, but you can join the waiting list. And then the 12th of May, I'm at Glasgow. Afternoon show sold out. Evening show, extra show, put on, still with tickets. And then there's lots more. Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs. And now, enjoy whatever podcast I've given you. It's free. It's all for you. If you want to pay me back, buy a book, come and see a show. That's all I've got to say to you. Love you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Wherever you are in the world, some of you are here. Please welcome a man who last night tried and failed to sleep in a bath. It's Richard Herring! Thank you! Oh, we're back! Thank you so much. You're much better than last week's audience. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Oh, thank God! Thank God I don't have to come up with a stupid fucking name for it. Though I was hanging out with Sir Michael Palin 18 months ago. It was the best day of my life, and then I was punished. I got punishment for having the best day of my life, and so did all of you, but you've still got two testicles, most of you. You've still got as many testicles as you started with, most of you. I thank God every day, by the way, that Sir Michael Palin did not get COVID that night. That is what I... And I didn't kill Sir Michael Palin. Anyway, he calls it Rehalastopa, so we'll see if that catches. See, if it's series 22. We've been recommissioned. Never had 22 series of anything. It's amazing. Of what the YouTube subtitles call Rahul Estaba. Which I call... I quite like... and we're back at the Leicester Square Theatre for the first time in 18 months. It's extremely exciting. It feels like yesterday, doesn't it? No way. Nothing's happened. Nothing's happened, but things are so different. I've got a new book. It's Pickle Rick, from when Rick and Morty was good. everything's very exciting. It's all very good to be here. We're having a good time. And yeah, I did sleep in the bath. Well, I tried to sleep in the bath last night. We've been on a couple of holidays this month with the kids, and they both killed me. Being a parent is, you don't get a holiday. You're looking after kids all the time. It's awful. So I've been dizzy all week after coming back from Centre Parks, where I was just cycling my kids up and down a hill. They were like Chinese emperors in the back, and I was. It was good exercise, but man, and then we went away just to see some friends in Norwich, and we stayed at Dunstan Hall, I think it's called, which looks very nice from the outside. It's horrible inside. And we booked a family room, but it was just two double beds in a tiny room. And that is, you can't sleep with a six-year-old and a three-year-old. And so I attempted to escape and sleep in the bath, and it did not work. So if I collapse, it's for real. When we arrived, it's a very fancy hotel from the outside. You drive up this driveway, it's past a golf course, and then it's this very imposing building. It was just like the nearest hotel we could get to where our friends were. And as we were driving up, my son, my three-year-old son Ernie, said, I came here with my father. And I said, I said, no, you didn't, because I've never been here. He said, I did. I came. He said, my father built this house. I said, it looked like he was about 500 years old, so it felt unlikely. And he carried on talking about this for about, this weird thing. I was here, I've been here. Yeah, I know this. Me and my brother used to be here. And it was all like kind of that sort of spooky things when kids start talking about. Then he said his brother was called Sweet Corn. And it made me think, it could have been a nickname, right? But I thought, but sweet corn wasn't in this country 400 years ago. So I investigated it, and he take it. And also, sweet corn gave Ernie sweet corn. I mean, that might be how he got the nickname, though, right? So it seemed like his story didn't add up, but he felt sure he'd been there. So I Googled it and found out the building was actually only was built in 1859 or something like that, so it was made to look older than it was. So it's possible sweet corn's been in the country for 200 years, so possible. And I looked up, and the person who built it had three sons. So it's possible. And the youngest of those sons was called Ernest. Yeah. But then the next day he said I said, did you have two brothers or one? He said, two brothers. And I said, what was the other one called? And he said, Fish Finger. So it's, I just think, and the Fish Fingers were invented in 1900. So it doesn't add up. It's like loads of people, I've been reading all these stories online about kids who'd had other lives and could say it, but they don't mention all the times kids just make up a load of bullshit. that sounds good. But that was quite scary, wasn't it? And that happened. Anyway, we will crack on, I think, away from you. So, don't go there. It was a terrible hotel. it was a very, very... My wife had the salmon for dinner. It was nasty. So let's crack on. TripAdvisor. No, that's good TripAdvisor. My guests. We're going to have some guests. We're going to start this new series with some new guests. And my guests this week are probably best known for playing, one of them is best known for playing Camilla in Birds of a Feather. The other one is best known for being female Stevie in the Peter Dibdin sketch on Twitch of Fun. That's what she's best known for. They are two-thirds of Massive Dad, which after my diet, so am I. Come on, it's a proper joke. It's a proper fucking joke. What do you want from me? We please welcome Tessa Coates and Stevie Martin, ladies and gentlemen. Come in. Whichever way round you like. You've got to hold your microphone in your hand. I forgot to tell you. Very nice, isn't it?
Very
nice.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
It's lovely to meet. I've never met Stevie Martin in the flesh. Oh, before. That sounds weird. In person.
Yeah.
Because we've worked together for the last year in online.
Yeah, you've just given me all my work last year.
That's good.
Thank you.
You're very tall. She's very tall, isn't she? I wasn't expecting it. It's kind of quite weird.
Oh, you're small.
It could be that.
No, I am very tall.
Yeah, you are. Very
apologies.
Tall. It's weird meeting someone that you know, but you don't know them at all.
Yeah, it's very strange.
It's weird.
It's very strange. Although I have seen your show, so I have actually watched you a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, in life.
I've seen your show, but that's not the same.
No, it's not the same. No. It's nice to hang out.
I've seen Tom Cruise in films and stuff.
That's
but
true.
He's not.
Yeah,
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know him. Anyway, lovely to. How was being Camilla in Birds of a Feather? Tessa?
Sorry for laughing backstage. I couldn't believe that was what you'd come up with as the thing. It was a real thrill playing Camilla in Birds of a Feather. Thank you so much.
Which of the Birds of a Feather did you get to act alongside? All three of them.
Oh, all three.
Yeah.
It was the Christmas special. I was the estate agent, and one of them is selling the house.
Was it the Christmas special before they stopped working together?
Oh, yeah.
I was the
catalyst.
Did you notice any... Because the Birds of a Feather, they flock together. They've been working together since they were
tiny children, oh, yeah. Those two, Pauline yeah. Quirk and the other one.
I wasn't confident either.
And fish,
so.
Fish finger. and they've stopped working together.
Yeah. Well, they've just been doing it a very, very long time. Yeah. And I won't be saying anything more about it on the record.
Nor should you. Because we are live streaming this. I forgot to say, we're live streaming it. So anything that gets said now can't be edited out for those people.
If you ever watch it, it's got a laughter track on it, but that it's not actually in front of a live audience.
Okay.
So we did it without an audience. Then they play it to an audience and use that because they refuse to do the... Oh, I did. I have been shit talking. So. I said I wouldn't say anything. Yeah, they won't. It's not live.
All right. Well, your character won't be coming back to Birds of a Feather. That's
the estate agent is cut. She's out.
And how was it playing female Stevie in the Peter Dibden? It must have been an honour for you.
You must have
watched those Fist of Fun sketches back in 1995.
Yeah. No, it was great sitting on my bed with balancing a laptop on a puff from the living room.
Okay.
And
you can't call them that anymore.
I was good. Sorry, a buffet.
I like to apologise to the live streaming audience for the language.
Sorry, I'm really homophobic, and that's just something everyone's got to get on board with at this stage. Absolute delight, and thank you so much for having me on.
It was fun, but you know, once I lost my testicle, I decided to stop doing it.
And it's fair.
Yeah, yeah. I felt that Peter Dibden's a two-testicled character.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. 100%. All three. Yeah.
And then by the time it felt like too much time had passed. Well, at least I've sent you some driving gloves. You've got some driving gloves.
I've got some driving gloves
that
I've never
used. We're ready for the next sketch.
I moved house and I moved the driving gloves with me in prep. But also it'd be nice when I actually learn to drive anyway. So yeah. I'll just use them.
Okay, good. That'll be good. Can you not even drive?
I can't even drive. Wow, okay. Yeah, I literally can't.
Anyway, look, it's lovely to see you. First guest of the new series. Stevie, you were on this show when we were did remotely, so we did talk a little bit about Massive Dad and the sketches, I've watched some of them again over the last couple of days. Fantastic sketches. So you started as a... Did you meet at university, I'm presuming, or did you meet post-university?
I can't remember.
No, we did. We met... We met at university. We were all in the student sketch comedy group, but in different years. I love to tell people that I'm the baby. They were the year above me.
Yes.
We actually met. We were in a play together.
Oh yeah.
But Stevie was very cool and in the year above, and so she has absolutely no recollection of the play whatsoever. Whereas I was like, I'm in a play with Stevie Martin. And then we had graduated, and then. Nobody remembers how, but we'd been like, shall we do some little sketches?
Yeah, we were going to be called Tanks, do you remember? Didn't work out.
It didn't work out, but we went to Las Iguanas and...
Shared one starter
between the three of us. Couldn't afford to eat anything else. And we were like, yeah, let's do some little... this is what I'm saying, maybe let's do a little bit of comedy. and that's how it started.
Yeah, and our first ever gig, Jumbo, first ever gig where we did that gig where the guy said... And this is serious, it sounds like terrible satire. And the next people, they're women. Oh God, it really is like this then in comedy. I think he's a bit of an anomaly.
He said they work for the BBC.
We don't.
Not true.
No.
No, we don't. Never have.
Would.
Certainly. Happy to be there, but we don't. And then he said, women doing comedy, illegal in the Middle East. Yeah. well, here they are. They're called Really Big Dad.
And then we came.
Yeah, a true story.
And then afterwards he went, that was okay.
It was horrific. It was awful.
It'd be nice to clarify whether he was saying that's a good thing that it's illegal in the Middle East or it's a good thing. You know, he didn't come down on either
clear side.
There,
and it was very uncomfortable in the room.
It implied that they were right. That was the implication, yeah.
they get some things right over there. Is it illegal? Would it be illegal for you to perform in the Middle East?
I mean, I think some areas would be like, what are you doing? Especially now. But like, yeah, I don't know.
Listen,
should we go to Dubai and just give it a go?
Don't fact check on what he was saying. Nobody knows what he meant by it.
That's good. Well, again, I will say the sketches that you filmed, which are incredibly produced sketches, are very well worth people checking out.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, they're nice. They are nice. They were made by a company called Monkey Kingdom, who make Made in Chelsea, and they're so fantastic to work with. But because they make Made in Chelsea, they got so much bunts from that, they can afford to be like, and now should we make some cool comedy sketches and do other things and whatnot? And it's shot. Some of those sketches are shot. Everyone's like, God, they look great. And you're like, they're shot on the camera that made Skyfall. Like, yeah, they look fantastic.
Do you think the camera can remember it was involved in Skyfall?
Yeah. It remembers.
And do you think it'll be happy that it's not doing Skyfall and doing you? Or do you think it'd go, I used to be... Yeah.
I think it was tutting to the microphone, being like, I worked on Skyfall, you know? Yeah.
Our cameras have only ever filmed this because we bought them.
Right.
That's cool. It. So they're used to what they know what they're getting. Yeah. And then sometimes go, oh, it's Bob Mortimer's coming on. That'll be good. and well, look, there's loads of stuff to talk about, but let's talk about the thing you do together now. His Massive Dad, is that
dead?
Is that over?
Just on a lovely long sabbatical.
Yeah. I say we've finished it.
Oh, good for you.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, as in, like, literally on this podcast, like, yeah, it doesn't go anymore. And so now, but let's work it out. Should we do it again?
No.
Okay, is the door closed? Have you fallen out with.
No. I think there's just. No.
Where's the other one? There's another one on the videos.
There's just no.
She's small.
She's small. I think there's just no. After a certain point, there's like. You age out a bit of doing sketch comedy. Yeah. Just because
you'd think
you move
into ventriloquist dummies, right? That's what you move on to that.
That's mature. Just like after, you know, because there's three of us, and so therefore you couldn't do it. You can't make any money from it because you're sharing it three ways, and then there hasn't been a sketch show on telly for years. You know,
I mean, Bamalam's running now, but it's not. Like,
The ladies.
I think there's a show called Flaps coming out.
Oh, for God's sake.
Which I auditioned for like four times, didn't get anything. It's like, oh, yeah. But it looks great. It's strange because, it did feel like that. I think also a big part of it is just like, oh, I don't want to go sit at the Edinburgh Fringe and just get a show again. The three of us, I think it was a bit like, God, you know, it's hard work.
It is hard.
Yeah.
And it is tough. And it's a bit like being in a band or in anything where you're just like, you're dealing, not only trying to make comedy, but you're dealing with everybody else's personal
bullshit.
Life, personal bullshit, frankly. Yeah. And everyone's got jobs and everyone's trying to work and everyone's trying to pay for this. And yeah.
Well, it's interesting because you're all doing lots of different things. So acting, journalism, podcasts, and so you're doing this podcast together. But that's sort of the way it is now, isn't it? And making your own sketches online. I mean, you've been doing your little things.
Your little bits you do.
Your stuff, they're very good sketches.
Thank you.
And they're very good. You know, they're very retweetable and shareable and the right length.
I need to get on TikTok apparently though, because Twitter's dying of something, and now I was like, I don't want to. I went on it the other day and I don't think I'll sleep for four weeks. It's so like insane. But yes, thank you. But it is nice, I think, because we all have, like, Liz is doing a show, I think, at the Soho in a couple of weeks' time for 2 weeks, and it's a brilliant show. It's like a solo show. And I think
it's really good.
And we're all like, yeah, now we're able to kind of explore our own personal journeys.
And she's been in just got back from Brussels. She's doing the show called Parliament that's French. Right. So she's a huge hit on French television. Yeah. She plays the only British character, and she can't speak French, so she doesn't really know what anyone else is saying or doing in the show. But she's thrilled to be there.
Very good. Well, the podcast you do together, and you do a lot of things online separately as well. It's called Nobody Panic, and you've got... Well, I've listened to it before. It's one of my... on my library, but I listened to a couple this week. And it's kind of interesting because they vary in terms of seriousness, and it's about a sort of life guide for young people, really, isn't it? It's not really for 54-year-old men.
It's for everybody.
We actually have got quite a surprisingly robust 45 to 60
good
men. Good. Like, I don't know why.
It's because... You know, you think that people get older and they sort their lives out.
But they
really don't.
That's the point of the podcast. Yeah, because we like started it ages ago in like 2015 or six, like quite a while ago. And when that kind of like, you know.
No, we didn't.
It was, yeah.
No, it wasn't.
Was it? The end of 2015 was the debrief one, because I'd just gone freelance. This is good content.
Sorry. Okay.
You know what?
It was 2015.
Was it? Okay.
But quite very much at the end. It was more 2016. But the debrief... Well, it wasn't.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. I think we should just sort this out. okay. It was a period of time when that sort of, like, we were in our sort of, you know, late 20s and being like, you know... not had our life together, and it was very like, came from a place of like, well, this would be a really, I'd like to listen to this, please. And obviously now we're in our 30s, it's different, and the audiences now have like a bigger range, and now obviously we're like, I don't know, how to load a dishwasher? Is that what you want to know?
That's one of the ones I listen to, because I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed.
It is interesting.
It's actually quite a good one.
Well, neither of us have got a dishwasher, but
liked about the fact that you don't have a dishwasher, you've only just got a dishwasher that you didn't know you had to put Rinse Aid in.
Yeah, I mean, I had to Google what Rinse Aid was as well.
And, you know, and you're giving advice on...
Yes, there's a lot of that. There's like a dinner party one, which is really funny, because I've never hosted one, and Tessa is... insane at doing them and can't really do them. But then those ones are fun, because then I suppose people just listen and are like, oh yeah, they don't know what they're talking about either, and that's fine. And then I suppose it is more of a comedy podcast, but then some of them are quite like, you know, self-helpy.
But also I like it because you're fine, you obviously research it. I think what you could do with is a 54-year-old man who hasn't researched any of the stuff just coming in and saying what he thinks you should do, and then and
interrupting
shouting
as well. Interrupting. Yeah,
that's and what then, it needs. Yeah.
If you need that, I can do that. And I know all about dishwashers.
Have you got very aggressive opinions about your dishwasher?
I could really have done the dishwasher one and corrected you on quite a few.
What would you go on when? What would you like to
say? And the one-night stand one as well. I could have done a lot more on the one-night stand one. I could have really helped you out on that one.
How do you load a dishwasher?
You have to do it the way I do it.
There we go.
What is that?
Well, with me, I have talked about this quite recently, but my dishwasher is quite small. I don't know why, but the space it was in was... So we got quite small. So, I have to put the big plates at the edge. Right. Otherwise, it catches on the spinny
thing.
So I know a lot about dishwashers. Yeah. And my one has a rack at the top that you put your cutlery in, controversially. But
That's quite fancy, right.
Spread it out.
Rather than popping it in.
So I'd get one of those. That's quite good.
Well, this was good. We should have,
You could just insert this into
the
podcast.
Retrospective. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Now over to Richard Herring.
Yeah.
With his very specific for his own dishwasher instructions.
Yeah.
Just do what you want, I'd say, with dishwashers. but no, that's the charm. The charm of it is that you're finding out as well for yourselves. And in the one-night stand one, you're almost, Stevie, I mean, so embarrassed by the idea of one-night stands and disgusted by them.
No, I'm not
quite disgusted, but it's not for you.
It's just I struggle with it, essentially. But then Tessa's like, yeah, love it. Stand all over me.
I don't
say. And then the spectrum. Yes, it's one of your lines.
Not even on a beach. Just didn't bring some sand. Have you got your bucket of sand? Because I'm not going to have sex with you unless the sand is here.
Put the sand down.
My one-night stand opinion, my thesis that Stevie did not agree with.
Oh my God, I did agree. I was just like, it's cool. I just can't fill in my heart.
You came around to the idea that I was like, you have to fancy them, but not actually like them very much.
Oh, I didn't disagree. I didn't
agree
with that.
Because crucially, the main word in one-night stand is...
Night.
You've got to, it's one time.
Yeah, but you don't, the only thing I'd say about that is you don't always know before that
now
it
let's
is
hear
going
from
to be
Herring
a one-night
Corner
stand.
With his opinion.
So I had a lot of one-night stands that I hoped wouldn't be one-night stands.
There we go. But then what happened?
Then, you know, I'm too shy to call them back. And also, in the days when I was having one-night stands... It was before the internet.
So you did want them to be one.
But, you know, it was very. You had to actually get someone's phone number and ring them up, and I was always too shy.
So you were hoping that they'd call you.
Yeah, I don't know. I was. It felt too much to ring
that's
someone.
That's not a one-night stand. That is the first night of what you hope is a big relationship.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't have said that. Just, I'd like to another
two
go.
You want to
I'd like another go because I was drunk the first time.
Okay. A two-night stand. I understand.
So, you know, but it's interesting to have... It's really good to have people talking about the range of subjects you're talking about in this show. And you're also doing a... you've done a book version of it.
We've done a book.
That has happened.
A publisher rang us in at the beginning of lockdown and said, I assume all your work's been cancelled. Do you want to write a book? And we were like, why not?
I was wearing an eye patch at the time, Trent.
Just
for fun.
And so we were like, that does seem exciting. I said then, she was like, John, what else have you got? And I was like, I want to be this generation's Jilly Cooper. And then she said, no, thank you. No, nobody wants that. But we will take your podcast book. So it's been really nice to do, and it's been lovely to do it like all through this last year of such instability. It's been nice to be like, oh, I've got to do the book today. And we wanted to do a sort of grown-up Bart Simpson's Guide to Life that was like, you know, because that was...
Two people have read it.
Yeah.
So, and that's the sort of audience we're going
there
for.
There they are. One man being like, yes. But it was like when we were 11, that was such like a huge thing and everyone had it and it was like both funny and actually had some like helpful bits in it. And we just wanted to sort of...
And then they said, that's too expensive to produce. Okay, well, absolutely.
And they wanted it, like, full in colour. And they were like, remember, you are not The Simpsons. And nobody cares about what you are doing. But, yeah, it's just... It's everything we've learned. It's all in how-tos. And I think it's quite funny.
So is it extra stuff from the podcast or is it stuff from the podcast as well?
It's a lot of the topics are the things that we maybe have covered, but it's not, like, presented in the same way. So we've tried to do different... chapters in different ways. So there's like how to get a pay rise, but it's a play where Tessa plays Danny DeVito and I'm trying to get a pay rise from her. And then like
just classic
you know, just basic business. There's like Tessa wrote an absolutely incredible accurate poem about tax and it was amazing. It is absolutely one of the best things I've ever read, so it's actually worth buying it for that, you know.
But it's got a good poem in it.
A good poem. That's one good poem.
Good. I've got some ideas of stuff you could cover. The thing I've been thinking about, right, is if there was an exact clone of you made, right? It's not a twin, it's an actual copy of you, and it's you inside as well. So it's actually you. Your brain as well, and your personality and your soul.
Okay.
But And it's the same age as you, because if you're cloning someone, it would be a baby first, and that would make this an inappropriate question.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Is it okay to have sex with it?
Is it okay to have sex with a clone?
And you do a whole episode about that.
Does it know it is a clone?
Yeah. It's on board. You go, would you like to have sex with me?
Well, the clone wants to have sex.
Yeah. You want to have sex with me.
Well, you ask. I'd quite like to, you know, experience... I'm not saying I would... I would quite like to experience having sex with myself. Would you like, which I've done, but not...
When?
Wanking?
Well, just with the word.
Right.
But how about we push it out? Push it out.
Push the boat out. It's something like the ultimate wank, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Look, I'm not one night stuff with anyone else, but with myself, absolutely.
interesting.
I weirdly with myself, terrible prude. No, thank you. I don't know.
Would you be interested to see what like the vibe is?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Like what's going on with you? You know, I'm not anything.
Well, the clone would both be incredibly nervous and and weird about it. So I think it would be very disappointing for both of us.
Yeah.
Okay. So the clone wants it. Is that right?
Yeah. You ask the clone I don't know if the clone wants it, but you ask the clone, and let's say the clone says yes.
Yeah. No, not the clone consents.
Yeah. So there's consent, but neither of us are really up for it.
Is it more just two?
Does it help if
like the clone's like really your clone's horny? Your clone's really pulling all the moves.
I'm even thinking about it. Yeah, all right, the clone's horny.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, I'll give it a go. Okay. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll please the clone.
Yeah.
And then am I doing with the clone? Do I have to live with it? Or
just have sex with it.
What, and then dies or something?
If you like. If that's what you want.
A miracle. It orgasms and then it expires. That's the end. Oh, my God, it's science and technology. A miracle happens and all I use it is to awkwardly have sex with myself. And then
and as it's dying, it goes, why?
What was my purpose? I'd bang myself.
Okay, I wouldn't. I think it's disgusting.
Okay.
I just wondered what you'd say. See, there's a show in that if you want to do. If you're running out of ideas,
that's good. That's
sex,
nice.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a few. Have you done robot sex yet? Is it cheating to have sex with a robot if you're in a relationship with someone else?
No, it's a robot.
It's a bit. We'd have to have a chat about it, though. I think. if you walked in on your partner,
like
having sex with a robot.
Westworld style robot.
Yeah,
or like a Roomba.
Whatever gets you off. I'm not judgmental about this. But yeah, probably for me, it would be, what's it called? Humans, was it called? I'm very tired today. I've been trying to sleep in a bath. I can't even remember the name of the woman I like.
Gemma Chan.
Gemma Chan.
Yeah.
I thought the audience were trying to name your wife. Like, what's the woman I like?
When we went down for breakfast this morning, we'd been twice, and my wife was at the front. She went up, and I knew that they wanted the name rather than the room number. My wife was trying to remember the room number, and I went and I had to step in and say our name. Which seems really suspicious, doesn't it? You go, Harry? Yeah. Harry. Oh, yeah. I am his wife. You're our children. It was very weird. You think it's cheating to, if your partner was
cheating,
having sex with...
I just think it's a... If I didn't know it was going to be happening...
Yeah, that's very important that you don't know.
And then you walk in, it'd be like... Also, I suppose if they're very realistic, I just think he was having sex with Gemma Chan.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, fair play, good. Can I join? But also, I think it's probably not like if cheating's there, it's like there. You know,
it's. I think cheating is more about the lying and the power dynamic and all of that.
Yes.
And really, so if you ask your partner if you can have sex with somebody,
yeah, I like the lying part. That's part of it for me.
Right. Yeah. Okay. In which case, yes, it is okay. Cheating to have sex with a robot.
Thanks for sorting that out.
No problem.
That's good that you sorted that.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'll ask you some more. I'm going to ask you some merch questions from the Hullistapa. Well done. Program, which I don't think I've ever asked any of these to anyone. Maybe I have. No, I won't ask you that one.
Why?
Because it's a stupid question. All right, I'll ask you it. Have you ever attempted to create a monument that will stand for millennia? How did you get on? Because I've done that. I'm trying to make a wall out of stones in the field. So, you know, you're unlikely to have done that. Okay, I'll ask you this. Who did you last wave your bare bum at?
You probably each other. She loves to wave her bum. I was obsessed with it.
What, me? Mooning.
Mooning. Loves to moon.
Will moon.
Will moon. Yeah. A drop of a hat.
Mooned on a family Zoom. Just to liven it up. and it did. It did. Yeah. My sister gets her boobs out at weird moments during family
things. On the family Zoom?
In family dinners.
Gina.
I know. It's a lot of fun. And then we all laugh and then I get my bum out.
Yeah,
it's a bit fun. You get your bum out quite a lot. We did before Edinburgh, we were trying to figure out this dance when we were in a sketch group. And we, in order to figure it out, had to record ourselves and then watch it back to see if it was
working. It was about 4 a.m.
Yeah, it was 4 a.m.
Just to say, like,
before the first show. So, I mean, we were so
very
tired.
Stressed, very tired.
It was just nice because then when we watched it back, the whole time Jess was just getting a bum out. Like, oh, we didn't realise that was... It was unhelpful.
They were just so earnestly and seriously like dancing
this, and
at
just
the front.
Had a full arse
and
out.
I was just my butt out at the back.
Yeah.
Just to lighten the mood.
Again,
you know?
See? So you do know. It lightens the mood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Love it.
It does. My kids do it all the time. It's fine. It's,
yeah.
It's
they're
fine
children.
They are children.
Yeah, they're tiny babies.
Yeah. Okay, this made me laugh when I just read it. For the first time since I wrote it. I'll move on to some serious questions later. If you had to be given oral sex by a dinosaur, if you had to be...
All sex based.
Which dinosaur would you like to be mouthed to completion by?
Oh, God, okay. Again, does the dinosaur understand? Is there consent?
Yes. I think there has to be consent for it, yeah. For it to be given oral sex.
Obviously... Yeah. Diplococcus, no questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going with pterodactyl or something.
Oh my God. Too picky. No, I think I'd go for a stegosaurus because it looks very gentle. And also, it's got the kind of danger of the horn.
Yeah.
You know? Could go wrong.
I'll ask you a non-sexual one now.
Are there any? Can't find one.
Any. What would it take for you to teabag Jacob Rees-Mogg? Oh no, hold on, Max, that's
a
rude one.
Absolutely nothing. No impetus whatsoever. I'd do it in a heartbeat.
What is the most unlikely thing you've seen up a mountain?
Been up a mountain.
You've never been up a mountain.
I think so. Been up at like a large hill. Have you been up a mountain? It feels like you've been like you've done like Ben Nevis or something.
No, I've been up. You've been up Arthur's Seat and things.
Is that a mountain or something?
I think
hill?
It might even technically count as a mountain.
Okay. Oh right, you want. No. Not a hill isn't enough, eh? You want...
Well, you know, I'd accept hills just for, you know, the ease of conversation.
Yeah, sure.
I've not seen it. I think I once saw two people having sex, but at such a distance, I'm open to the idea it was anything else.
I was trying to make a question not about sex,
sorry,
and you've turned
sorry,
it around
sorry.
To sex.
Sorry. Okay, in which case, I saw one of those stones... That's a big stone.
Okay.
Funny, isn't it? So, no, you know when people make those like balancing stones?
I'm not really aware of people doing that with stone.
You know.
I do know, yeah. I am aware of that.
Love stones.
I've seen some Kens in my time. Have you ever experienced, like my son was trying to pretend he was the ghost of a man who built this hotel we were in. Have you ever experienced a child regressing to a previous life, or have you ever regressed to a previous life in your...
Yeah.
Okay.
Our neighbour used to think, he was obsessed with the weather, he was about 5, and he was very, very obsessed with the weather, and he would say that he had previously been at the Battle of Agincourt.
Wow.
Age 5.
What was the weather like?
Raining.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was raining, and he was very... Well, so when it rained, he would say, ugh, raining again, like Agincourt.
He was 5.
That's very... And everyone was like, yeah, I think he really was there, you know?
Googled it to find out if it was raining during the Battle
it
of
It was raining, yeah.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
That's very impressive. I've never had that, but when I was younger, I obviously don't remember because I was like 2, I would tell people that my name was Colin and I was a computer programmer because my dad's friend was that. And so obviously in the pram and stuff, when I first learned to speak, they'd be like, oh, and I'm like, my name's Colin. And I'm like, well, Jesus Christ. My mum just didn't correct me. It was nice.
Do you think that any of those regression life things are real, or do you think just kids, especially when it's kids, and just real? My son, he went on for literally a day and a half about this.
Did his voice change?
No.
He said he was the ghost.
He said he was the son of the guy who built the house in 1859, but he didn't give the dates.
Did you like test him on stuff?
I took him round the house, and he was saying, yeah, he's going, yes, that's where we went into. We found this big. I've forgotten this. We found this. I was just trying to kill time. So we walked around the hotel and we found this big sort of function room, and there was a stage at the end, like an artificial stage that had been put in obviously quite recently. He said, ah, yes, we used to perform on here. And then he got up on the stage and he made up a song about sunshine. And he said that's what they used to sing. And then he said, but I couldn't really say sunshine properly. So I just, I think, because you can't say sunshine properly.
Oh my God.
He's mental.
He's really creative.
He's very creative, and he really committed to it.
But you, And you didn't test him. You didn't say what's in this room then.
No, I didn't do that.
Because he's a child, and that would be. Cruel,
I didn't really believe him once he started saying the guy was called Sweetcorn. That was what I was a bit freaked out. But then I did say that. And the youngest son was. The youngest son of the family was called Ernest, as my son is as well. So when I looked it up to try and find out whether he was telling
what
the truth.
What the fuck?
Did your son know that before he pretended?
I
believe in it.
I know, but that's spooky. But then I didn't say that the other two sons were called Fishfinger and Sweetcorn. Which happened to be his favourite things to eat. And now, but that might be why, I guess they are, because of the past life. And he could be called Fishfinger for a different reason than.
Oh my God! Lord!
It could be.
No.
So.
No. No.
Let's talk more about you guys. Tessa, on all the websites, it says that you've got a project in.
On all the websites.
There aren't many details about it. You've got a project in development with ABC and the guy who created The Office.
Yeah, that is true.
Is that happening?
No. They. very much no. They sold it to. I did a show. They did. Yes.
Yeah, it is.
So, truth. Greg Daniels wanted to produce it. It was sold to ABC Studios. ABC Studios, who are Disney, they sold it to Quibi. Do you remember Quibi?
I do remember Quibi. Yeah,
yeah. No one knows it. It was Quick Bites, Quibi. You watched quickly things on your phone, and it was the ultimate quick bite. It lasted a few months. So I wrote the show for them. I handed it in, whole series, quickly, tiny little episodes. Then they said, yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to make it. We're going into production. And then 4 days later, Quibi went bankrupt. So that's the end of that.
But if they've gone bankrupt, then someone else can do it, surely?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Who's to say?
That's still exciting, though. So
exciting.
Were you out in LA and doing meetings? And
yeah, I went out
to your John Malkovich story.
No, I'm not telling my John Malkovich. No way.
You tell the John Malkovich
story. No, I'm terrible at telling stories. I can't possibly. You're going to do it on the stand-up, maybe, so maybe go and see her stand-up show. Yeah. It's a great story.
I've got a wild story about John Malkovich. I'm so sorry. Everyone now will be like, well, tell the fucking story. it just involves me doing a terrible, terrible, going to a sort of old in doing this terrible, terrible impression in front of John Malkovich and him hating it. but it's a better story than. Yes, I went out to LA. You go on the sort of. It's fun. I mean, what a crazy place. And you go on something called the water bottle tour because you're constantly made going to sit in a reception and someone says, like, can I get you a water? And then they bring you tiny little bottles of water and then you go and meet somebody and then they say, like, so what's this at you? And then you talk to them for a bit and then they say, okay, well, great to meet you. And even if they're in the middle of a story and then and you're like, oh, okay, bye-bye then. I guess I'll just go. Off you go and you meet all these fancy people. It's fun. I mean, it's a crazy town, but it's fun.
And is that something you is that something you sort of want to go to America or?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. So I just went out to do my show and in 2019, I went out in the summer to do my Edinburgh show, and I'm really aware they, like, Fleabag had just become very successful, and so there was this, like, oh my god, there's a British girl with a show, like, quick, and my show could not have been less like Fleabag, like, it's a very polite show. I don't know if that has been clear from my behaviour. Like, there's no masturbating, you know, in the show. Can I say something about Fleabag? You know, in Christmas, Barack Obama put out his, like, Christmas list of, like, his favourite movies and films and shows and things. Right. And number one TV show was Fleabag. The opening scene is her masturbating to Barack Obama. The opening scene. And Barack's been like, number one. Anyway, so I'm really aware that there was this, like, Fleabag buzz and they were like, quick, get her. But it did feel a little bit like I'd gone from sort of primary school straight to PhD. You know, I hadn't been able to do the sort of steps up and the learning, and, you know, because I want to do it, but, like, I think I went in too high too early, and I just wasn't, you know.
That wasn't your fault, though, because, like, they just plucked you and went like, do that. And you were like, Jesus.
And like, it was a really intense time because it did feel like they were like, here's the Hollywood dream, literally on a platter. And here's Greg Daniels from The American Office. And like, here's all this stuff. And it did feel this like, oh my God, I'm gonna fuck this up. Like, I'm so sorry. Sorry.
You can swear. Have you not heard Richard speak?
Oral from a dinosaur. Yeah, sorry, of course. Like, it felt like I was like, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, got your golden ticket, and you're going to, like, you know, Augustus Gloop yourself up the tube. You know, you're like, are you going to fuck it up? But then it turned out
they just fucked themselves up.
They fucked it up.
But it's not your, none of that's your fault.
I do hope I did my best, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you absolutely did. As a bystander, it just sounded terrifying and looked terrifying. You did such a good job of learning, even just like to be, it sounded like to be in meetings in America is not the same as here, where you just like meet two men called Tom who are like, hey, and then you leave. Yeah. Like, this was like intense, and like they're asking questions of you that you've not been asked before. And also just like the way they make, you know, like Americans in meetings like make you feel, and all of the stuff is, and just being in LA is very disorientating and stuff. And also, like Richard says, like, you've still got that thing, you can shop it around, and nobody knows that that happened.
No.
It's all everywhere just being like, Tessa is the find of the pilot season.
Yeah, exactly.
Just ride on that.
Ride those tailwinds, baby. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, there are two men called Tom, that's the entire British comedy television industry, and you have a meeting, they write some notes with a quill, and they say, we've only got a shilling. Can you make a good luck. And then you leave. Whereas in America, like, they want to take risks and they've got money and like they want to make stuff. Everyone knows lovely Peter Kay's Car Share. Such a sweet, nice, amazing comedy show, but it is just two people in a car. And Americans were like, can you imagine anything more embarrassing than a TV show in a car? Like, they just want everything to be like guns and explosions and stuff and money and like, can we make this show for millions and millions of dollars? So it's just a totally, totally different world to here.
If you were Greg Daniels...
Yep, and would I have sex with myself as I clone?
We've moved on. Would you have sex with a clone of you? No, I know. if you were Greg Daniels, would you carry... And you'd done The Office and presumably made, you know, $100 million. Mm. Would you carry on trying to find out? That's kind of an amazing thing that he's working on other people's projects. You'd either just, I'm going to do my own stuff.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to go and live on an island somewhere.
I'm going to go live on an island. And I think it's testament to... Firstly, he is the nicest, nicest man. And I think it's also testament to how much, like, comedy just, like, lives in him. That it's not really about the money. You know, here's all these people...
He's so rich now.
But, like, here's all these people who have got so much money that you're like, why don't you just retire? Like, you don't have to do this. And it's like, they're not here for the money. They're here. Money is obviously a delicious bonus. But they're here because they love it. And they love comedy. And they just love talking about comedy. And it's just, like, talking to, like, real nerds who are just like passionate about stuff, and they knew all these like really obscure British shows, and like they're so, and also like Greg Daniels was roommates with Conan O'Brien at university. Like, what? Crazy, you know? By sheer chance, like, they roomed together, and then somebody called them up on, like, they had the extension phone in the, you know, the dean's office, and said, like, do you want to come in and write on we're going to make a show called The Simpsons. Do you want to come and be writers? Like, all this, like, cool stuff. But it's like, I think they care so passionately about it that there's no retirement, because work is their love.
Also, he can, like, as well, I guess, if he puts his name on something, like, just says he's an executive producer and doesn't actually, you know, like, he could not actually do that much. But it's just, it must be an amazing feeling to be like, all I have to do is just say I'm an executive producer and this project will go. Like, all it takes is him to be connected, and he knows that. And so I suppose it's really nice that he kind of does that, and like, it's like, I'll help you.
Exactly. And well, crazy. And also, being an executive producer, what a jammy thing to do in America. You just stick your name on something, you do absolutely nothing, and you just cash your checks. Gorgeous. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous.
One day it'll happen. And also, so the show you did was the primate show, right?
That was primates, yeah.
And at university, you'd done anthropology.
That's me, yep.
But you did a dissertation about same-sex relationships in animals.
Yes!
So don't start having a go at me about my dinosaur question. You chose to do that.
How do you know that?
I know everything about you. So how... I research. What did you discover in your dissertation? How did you get away with that as a dissertation? And B...
You're allowed to do anything in anthropology. Yeah. I was obviously obsessed with, like, just very, very interested in same-sex behaviour in animals as a voyeur.
You looked animal penises and, like, penis facts.
Obsessed with animal,
like, penises. A lot of penis facts.
Like, when I discovered about that, we've got all these different monkey penises, and you can tell from a penis what the group does socially, like, what the sex is like. Sorry, hang on. you can tell from a penis of any species what kind of mating thing they do. Are they monogamous? Are they everybody having sex with each other? Like, what's the vibes? And we've got a penis that is absolutely not a monogamous penis, you know, and yet here we are pushing monogamy as an idea for some of us be fucking clones. And so I was like, oh, there's so much really fascinating stuff. And then I think, you know, that we sort of say that, like, there are no, that being gay is sort of against nature, or, you know, that all of this, you're like, nonsense. It's the most, like, sensible like it, and like, and to suggest that, like, all the other, everybody, every animal's doing it, and the more social you are and the more clever you are as a species, which we are, like, the more same-sex behavior there is, and so to in any way suggest that any sexual activity that anybody wants to do is not natural or not okay, or in any way should be, just the idea that, sorry, I'm getting so but like, just the idea that it should be a crime, that, like, that it's sure. that it, like, who gives a shit what you do with your butthole, you know? Yeah. you want to put your own cloned penis into it. It was about that, and about discovering, like, you know,
which animal has the best gay sex?
Dolphins. Great. like to put their penises into each other's blowholes.
That's pretty good.
And that's pretty nice.
Not just dolphins either, though. When I was researching Talking Cock, there was a bit I think I didn't use, like, was in the show for a little while, about a guy who'd written a massively long website about consensual sex with dolphins,
and he wanted to put his penis in the blowhole.
He was about, and he claimed that they liked to be wanked off and stuff. He says, if you look at their faces, it was literally, if you look at their faces,
they're
like,
smiling.
They can understand.
Yeah, like, they're always looking like...
and then move into the blowhole. Sounds dangerous. But what if they blow at the same time?
Probably enhance the experience, you imagine.
I guess if they don't like it, they can just...
Now it's come back to me. I think the guy did a warning saying that you have to be careful because if they blow at the same time, it will take...
He wanted to put his human penis in there.
Off.
Wow.
I might be misremembering that. You had a bit of material about this, didn't you?
Yeah.
And then you didn't put it in the show in the end, but that was the same for me. I think people aren't ready for dolphins.
People aren't ready for the dolphin stuff.
Even consensual dolphin sex to each other, but mine was really a man raping dolphins, to be fair.
It was a bit about a homophobic dolphin is what I wanted to talk about. Right. Just to, like, be like, how crazy is homophobia? Imagine if another animal was, like, cross about what anyone was up to, you know? Who gives a shit? And so I wrote this homophobic dolphin character, and it played to silence. Like, nobody liked it. So he was cut.
Yeah.
An Australian homophobic dolphin.
I think you should bring it back. I think you should take that to Greg Daniels and say,
I've got a new idea.
I want to do a series of
things. Here it comes.
Off the back of Fleabag.
Yeah. If you like Fleabag, you'll love this, yeah.
Terrific. Well, look, we're going to do a little bit more. And that's very... so you're both doing stand-up shows. Have you finished Primates?
I had another one called Witch Hunt. That was last year. And then I've just been in Edinburgh.
Have you done this Edinburgh? In the ghost Edinburgh,
a ghost town. It was, but the show's gorgeous, sold out, and I was the first thing on, and so therefore, for a short time, the best. I won Edinburgh. The shows are amazing because there's nothing else on. But then when you go out, it's just like a tumbleweed. It's absolutely crazy. Yeah. It was like a fever dream.
People were saying, I mean, I think maybe incorrectly, having been in the fringes of the late 80s, that it was sort of back to the roots of Edinburgh in the 80s, and that it was a bit, there were fewer shows, and therefore
it was more like experimental work in progress and stuff. So people felt like they were able to, I mean, I wasn't there, but it sounded like people found that it was nicer just to kind of try stuff.
Yeah.
And you don't, well, often you don't feel like you're allowed to do that anymore. So it was, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
There was definitely shows in the 90s where we would go up not really having written anything and work it up over the course of Edinburgh.
And that's what Edinburgh should be, rather than this, like, you arrive... And definitely, going August 1st, going off to do my show with my notes for a show that I'd never, ever performed before, and that, like, 80% of it had never been said out loud, I was like, this is a nightmare that you have in June that you wake up from, that's like, my show's not... I dreamt I was in Edinburgh and the show wasn't ready.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we shouldn't put so much pressure on it to be this amazing thing, and here's my show, ta-da, rather, be like, you've got to, you know, work on it, make it. And actually, the shows were so nice, and maybe we do go back to that.
Do you think we will? But, you know, that's it always feels that with Edinburgh, that you think, oh, we could go back. We could
2022
not.
Is going to be a nightmare. It's just going to be like...
I think we won't go back. It'll just be...
But there was no rewards, presumably, either, really. There was
God,
a,
no. Oh, sorry, I won. Yes, it was me.
Well, someone called Dave chose the Dave. I thought that was quite nice.
I didn't see that.
Someone, I can't remember who the comic was, but he chose a random bloke called Dave on the Royal Mile and made him choose from the list of 10 jokes, which was the best joke. And he chose the right one as well, I think.
Oh,
so.
That's nice.
So the random bloke called
Dave was good. Do that every year. Yeah. That's a really fun thing to do.
Once you make something so subjective as comedy into a competition, then it ruins it. You know?
Well, I think it does ruin the fringe.
Says us having never won a prize.
I've not had a show nominated in all of the Edinburghs I've ever done. So I'm very against the awards. But I think it does spoil it because even though I'm not eligible for the awards, I still get annoyed when I'm not nominated for them.
Yeah, it makes you sort of feel like a silly little child who hasn't been given a sticker at school, and I've always been embarrassed. But,
it's horrible. It's like running the marathon, and then because they announce the awards like 3 days, a week before the end of the fringe, so it's like doing the marathon, and then as you're coming to the end, they're like, oh, sorry, only a few people will be allowed to finish. Only a few people will be allowed a medal at the end. And you're like, oh, but we all are. Am I good running? Please.
You can always tell what day it comes out as well, because when you're walking around, there's just comedians like just crying on walls or just eating people. Like, oh, the awards come out. I see.
Yeah, horrible.
And have you finished your hot content?
Yeah, I finished that. And now I'm going to do another show and I have no idea what it is. And just going to start doing new material again. And I'm actually quite looking forward to doing new. Yeah, it's going to be quite fun, I think.
And is there anything coming out of because of those they have gone quite viral, those the short
yes kind of... they have to
11
an extent.
Million views.
I mean, that's quite viral.
That's a lot, isn't
that's
it
a lot, isn't it? No, nothing's happened. You asked me to do the driving sketch, but that's it. But when I do, like, you know, an advert for paint or something, someone goes, oh, I think I saw your sketch. That's the sort of level that we're at. But I'm hoping, you know, it will just mean that maybe when I go to Edinburgh I'm not so like desperate and like, oh god, this house. I could just be like, oh, I'm just going to Edinburgh doing a show, because online I've got another outlet to do comedy a bit, and I also sort of prefer it because I'm shit live. Right. But no, I just, because it's more in my wheelhouse to do it online.
It feels like there's a tipping point with those things, though. You know, like a lot of the people who have sort of got over the hill with something like that they've been doing it for quite a long time.
Yes.
You know, Michael Spicer and Al Green and people who sort of have reached that point now where people are going, oh, wow, look at this.
Yeah.
They've been doing it for a good, like, three or four years.
It would be sort of rude of me to have got, like, a TV show off the back of four sketches online or whatever. Like, so I think my plan is just, and I haven't done one for a few months, but I'm going to keep sort of doing those and not just be like, okay, I'm done with that now, and just keep going and keep going. And just try and get something away when I can. But it's not, there's no rush, I don't think.
But it's because both of you, I think, it's very indicative of... I mean, I'm calling you young comedians, and like now being in your early 30s is being is a young comedian, because it takes that long to get to the point that you guys are at. But it's all about just keeping going in every direction and doing everything possible, and which are both of you doing with acting, Birds of a Feather.
Of course.
And journalism, you know, you've got all these different outlets, and but that just seems the way you absolutely have to do it.
Yes, I think it's also quite an like a sort of tweet being like, you know, if you were a comedian in sort of the 90s, you know, you had one line and that was your great joke and that was what you were known for, and now you have to be like a full editor, a sound person, your own director. You've got to be on all this stuff, you've got to do so much stuff. But and that is really nice. I think, it's basically who gets tired the last, and then because it's something like, I'm a bit,
the British comedy business does feel a little bit like those competitions, who can hold on to the van for the longest.
Yes.
And if you are the last one touching the van, you win the van, you know.
But then you're so tired and fed up, you're like, I don't even want the van anymore.
Van, it does feel like that.
It does. And when I watch those sketches of you guys, the massive dad sketches, they're so good and they're so well put together, but there's so many people out there doing stuff now that's not enough to do, here's a load of really brilliant sketches we've done that are brilliant,
and what else have you got?
So it's so much tougher now. So when's the book? The book's coming out in November
the 4th. Yes.
Remember, November
4th of November. We'll do some sort of fun launch situation. I don't know. It'd be it's really.
sound like I'm really like, I hate the book. I love the book. I'm really proud of it. It's because obviously we've been writing it for a long time. You know, sure. I suppose what the book I things do. Is. It goes for a long time, and then when it comes out, you're like, oh yeah, that. We all know about that. Like, no one knows about that. But yeah, it's going to be like a lot of book promo and fun stuff. Maybe a little tour.
Nice.
If we can. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it would be lovely. I'd love to.
And is the podcast ongoing, or do you do series?
Every week till we die, or one of us dies, or the world explodes. Yeah.
Okay, good. So nobody panic. Book, podcast, that's a good thing to look up. Massive Dad, look up Massive Dad. And just, you've both got websites as well.
Sure,
we've
got websites. Yeah. Go and see Liz's show.
Go see Liz Kingsman's show.
We haven't got a live show to see, but you can see her.
Yeah, it's good. It's
really fantastic. Good. Ladies and gentlemen, massive round of applause for Tessa and Stevie.
Thank you so much.
We'll be back next week. See you next week. You have been listening to Rahalastapa Power with me, Richard Herring, and my guests, Tessa Coates and Stevie Martin from the Nobody Panic podcast. Buy their book, it's great. The music is by Scant Regard. I am indebted to my producer for this show, Gwyn Davis. I'm also indebted, of course, to the wonderful Ben Walker. I hope you can hear my cat meowing in the background. And I'm very much indebted to Chris Evans, Not That One, and all the team from Go Faster Stripe and Sky Potato, who have put together the fantastic streaming and videos for this series. It's working very well. Do go to richchain.com and buy a pass. You'll be able to watch previous episodes as well. If you've missed them, like you've missed some of them, for sure. You've missed this one, didn't you, for example? Why am I still talking? I'm very much delighted to be back at the Leicester Square Theatre. Thank you to all the staff for their fantastic support. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. Head to GoFasterStripe.com/badges to become a monthly badger and get money off your streaming tickets. Get loads of bonus DVDs, stand-up shows. You don't get DVDs. Stand-up shows and interviews backstage and all sorts of other malarkey and a membership card. It's well worth your £3 a month. Please stay with us if you're doing it just for the discount. Otherwise, we lose money, and we're trying to raise money for charity. It seems unfair that we lose money as a result of that. Anyway, go fasterstripe.com/badges. I'm going now. No one's listening to this anyway. See ya.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thanks for listening. Do come and see me on tour. richardherring.com/gigs is the easiest way to find out where I'm going. And gofasterstripe.com, you can buy books and downloads. And just tell your friends about the podcast. If you can't make it to the tour show, if you don't want to buy any products, then every time you listen to an advert, you're helping us make more podcasts with a very, very tiny micro payment. So thank you very much for that. I love you all. It's lovely to meet you on tour, by the way. Hello to everyone who said hello so far. Do come and say hello after the show if you enjoyed it, if you want to see me. That'd be nice. You can get a selfie. I don't care. I'm a selfie whore. All right, see you soon.